Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Are here live on LA Talk Radio. The call-in number 323-203-0815 to hop in the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen. I want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us to be here with you each and every Thursday, and LA Talk Radio for playing us all over the place. We love you and we're glad you're with us tonight. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
Good. Let's go.
Sounds like a plan. Let's see what's going on with our switchboard and all of that fun, fancy stuff.
Good.
So how are you doing, Dr. Allen? You doing good?
Yes, I am. I'm having a good life.
All right. We've got a caller. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, hello. Thank you for the show. I had a question. My daughter is 18 and she doesn't really stay home much. She has a boyfriend, so they're out, you know, on the weeknights. She doesn't even eat at home. She doesn't eat my cooking, and she just doesn't want to be with me. She doesn't want to be at home. She's threatening that, you know, she'll move out with her boyfriend because she's 18. So do I just support her in that?
Support, do you mean, do you pay her to live somewhere else?
No. I mean, if she wants to leave, then... I give her my, you know, like I'll say that's fine if you want to go, because she obviously doesn't really want to be here.
I understand that. And what is the benefit of her being there? Does she have a job? Is she emancipated?
But she's finishing up high school now. So the benefit I had, was helping her with her so that she could have a place, you know, to study, and I could, you know, support her and all that. But now she's telling me.
I understand that, but she knows that she has the legal right to start negotiating a life on her own, but can she afford it? Do you pay her money?
She's getting money from her father. So,
are you married to her father?
No.
Why doesn't she live with her father?
He does not have time.
I understand that, but she doesn't have time for you.
She just wants to be. Her father is actually in another state.
Oh, I see. He's not even available.
He's given her a credit card. He supports her fully now. You know, anything she wants, she just uses the credit card that he gave her. So
that's between them.
Yes, exactly. So if she wants to move out and he's going to support that, then I think that I just support it too. Like, I'm not financially supporting it, but I give her my, I tell her if she wants to leave, she can go, because she's not.
Well, but she doesn't want to leave. She stays at your home.
She just sleeps here. She won't do anything
but
other than.
But she sleeps there. Where does her boyfriend live?
He lives a few blocks away.
Okay. Is he with his family?
He lives with his parents. Yeah, he lives with his parents, but. She's 18 and he's 19, and they want to get an apartment together.
Do they have the money? Does he work?
Well, she has money from her father.
All right. So is she doing anything that's immoral, unethical, or illegal, do you know of?
No.
Then are you wanting your daughter as a tenant in your house?
Well,
as long
really
as she's living in your house, you are aware of what she's doing and where she's going.
Let me know where she's going and what she's doing.
And that's what is left of her childhood.
Yes.
Which is good. Do you know, I'm going to teach you something. Do you know that nature, which is God because it's created, do you realize that from 13 to 18, teenagers do not produce very much dopamine? And that causes them to act strange.
Okay.
There's a book by Dan Siegel called Brainstorms. And it's about living with teenagers.
Okay, because she, I wanted to help her with her college applications, and she refuses to let me read anything.
Here she's terminating the relationship,
yes.
Mother and daughter.
Exactly.
She will ask you for help. She wants to sleep in the bedroom. That's good.
Okay.
And
so you're saying
I want you
that,
what?
Mm-hmm. So like
she's no longer legally bound.
No. She doesn't want me anymore is what I'm saying because
no, dear, she does
her
want
father,
you. She want wait. She wants you as a relative, but not a mother. See, what you're trying to do is be her mother. Her father gives her money, which gives her freedom.
Right.
And you can't.
Right.
Why aren't you married to him?
He's not been married. He's never been married. And he left when I told him I was pregnant. So this was 18 years ago.
But he is now being a financial father.
Yes.
Then let him be a financial father because you can't stop him.
No, and I'm glad that he is. I just,
I know
to her,
you want
to
be
to
her mother. She doesn't want a mother. She wants a friend that she lives with. A little bit every day.
Okay. But if she moves, if she wants to move out, then I allow that, I guess.
You can't stop her.
Yeah. Okay. Because she
has the right.
I've done
what?
No, I mean, I've done my best to be a mother, as far as helping her get
your
into
motherhood
college.
Is,
she doesn't want
your
any
mother,
help.
Your motherhood is legally done.
Yeah. So she doesn't want anything, like, she doesn't want me to cook for her or any of that. So she
Honey,
just comes here to sleep.
I'm telling you, she is creating her own life.
Yes. That's right. I don't need to feel guilty down the road that I didn't do more. I think I've done enough, right?
No, dear.
As far as,
what you can do is applaud her successes. And if she comes to you with a problem, either give it to her father because he's got the money.
Yeah.
And be her friend. Do you know what an aunt would act like?
Yeah.
Do you have a sister?
No.
No. But you do know that your motherhood is done unless she asks you to be a mother.
Okay.
But that will happen when she has a problem that she can't handle. When she needs you, you can set standards.
Mm-hmm.
If she never needs you, because she's got her father, and that's important. Fathers are very important to their daughter's upbringing. A girl is lucky if she's got a father that is caring for her.
Well, she's closer to him than me right now.
So. I don't care what he does, as long as he's not in jail. Country. Are you willing to let your daughter explore independence?
Yes.
Are you willing to read about teenagers?
Mm-hmm.
Will you, Dan Siegel?
Okay.
Brainstorms. We wonder why teenagers act the way they do. It's because their nature is now to leave home and create one. If you make yourself her enemy, you won't be her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you willing to allow her to explore herself?
Yeah.
If she can do it, great. I don't want you to put her in a bind where she has to leave your home because you continue to be a mother instead of a friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to just.
Do you understand?
Get her to pick up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dear, do you want Victor? If you will leave you,
no,
she won't go live with her father. No. She'll go live with her boyfriend.
No, it's coming from her. She wants to have that opportunity to go live with her boyfriend if she wants to.
I want you to know something. How are you going to stop her?
No, I cannot. I cannot stop her.
Are you willing to not be her mother and an enemy?
Yes. So it's kind of like a roommate now. We're just roommates.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you treat her like a woman from now on?
Okay.
But I want you, she's got a bedroom she can live in, but everything she does in the house, I hope, will not interfere with your having a good home. Is she a good tenant? Pardon?
Well,
Is she a good tenant? Does she pick up after herself?
No.
Are you willing to tell her that you need to be comfortable in your own home?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you're not comfortable in your own home, then you may not want to live with her.
Mm-hmm. So we have 4 more months before she finishes high school, and I'm just waiting.
She's already 18.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And,
tell me what you want her as a tenant. Now remember, her bedroom is her territory.
Okay.
If she wants to live in a junky bedroom, that's her privilege.
Right.
What do you need her to do outside of her bedroom, please?
Well, all it is to keep her bedroom sanitary.
That you all do what?
Like, so that there's no food in her bedroom that attracts bugs.
Okay, you don't want any trash in her bedroom because it will attract bugs and animals.
Yeah.
What else do you need?
No, there's nothing else. There's nothing else.
All right. So you give her bedroom. She has to do her laundry. She has to do what a tenant does.
And she's finished high school, I'm going to sell this my house. I'm just waiting for her to finish because do you think it's not good to move when she's in the middle of finishing off high school?
Of course it is. I hear you wanting to punish her.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking if I'll just stay here until she's finished high school, because really I did want to sell this house.
And then would you please not sell your house and let her have a safe harbor with a relative?
For 4 months.
What?
Yeah. Okay. For the next 4 months until she's finished. And then she's off to
college.
Don't
ever sell your house if you like your house.
No, I'm selling it because gone to college, when she's gone to college, then I'm going to be living with my husband. So we're just waiting.
Oh, I see. You're going to be changing your lifestyle. You're becoming an independent human being who's starting a new life. So is she.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, in some families, children hate the incomer, the new husband, the new father. Are you willing to understand that you and your relative daughter are both growing into individuals?
Yes.
Are you willing to treat you?
Yes.
So the thing that you want, I support, which is sanitary living conditions. Does she do anything immoral? Does she get drunk, have parties?
Mm-hmm. No.
What does she do looking for dopamine pleasure?
She's with her boyfriend a lot.
So she is not really interfering in your social life.
No.
Then you don't have to worry about that. I strongly recommend that you make your tenant home pleasant for her to come and visit every night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To become a friendly tenant, no, a friendly landlord relative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your first name?
My first name is Nina.
Okay. Then Nina is her mother, is now her landlady,
okay,
her friend, and you're going to continue to be a landlord until she's done with high school, whereupon she, her dad, her boyfriend, his parents, whatever, may create a new life. But as long as it doesn't damage your home, waste your money, is it wasting your money at all?
No, it's done.
So do you want to be a friend with your daughter or not?
I do, but she doesn't really. I mean, I will, but I hope she will communicate more with me as friends later. Maybe right
I
now
don't
she
think
she
wants. Okay, let me change the word friend to friendly.
Okay.
Are you willing to be a friendly auntie?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is her first name?
Erica.
Okay, I'm not hearing it quite clearly.
Erica.
Well, I still don't. That's okay.
Her name is what? Erica. Erica.
Her name is Erica. Great. Okay. Now, Nina, are you willing to be friendly with Erica for the next 4 months?
Yes.
So that you can be someone she can come to, because you're not trying to keep her a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't drive her away by being unfriendly.
So do I still cook for her because she won't eat my food and still offer it
darling,
for her as a friendly?
I want you to know that the next thing you're going to do is say, if you want me to cook for you, you've got to give me notice. How much notice do you need? A day?
No, an hour.
An hour? So you're going to tell her, get the trash out of your room. I don't want bugs. And that's very appropriate. If you want me, please give me a few hours notice.
Mm-hmm.
Treat her like a niece, not a daughter. Are you willing to be friendly with your growing ex-daughter?
Yes.
And do you promise you're going to look at Dan Siegel's book, Brainstorms, about teenagers and what happens to them that creates an individual that's leaving you?
Yes.
And that's normal. I am really happy her father is interested in giving her financial support.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to give her a room in your home
mm-hmm.
so that you can be friendly?
Yes.
And don't fight with her in order to keep her as a child.
I know that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Are you willing to do that and call us back and report on your efforting?
Yeah, I'm just backing off with reminding her to do homework and...
No, dear, that's no, no.
Okay. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
She has to be an I to be a we to be an us.
Mm-hmm.
So please allow it so that you can be an I. You and your fiancé will be freed from a lot of mother-father stuff because her father is doing his stuff.
Yes.
She's got a boyfriend that may really be a future husband,
mm-hmm.
and he has a family, and they don't allow her to stay in their home. So please let her work on being an individual to see what she creates.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Don't punish her when she bumps into mistakes. Be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to let reality teach her instead of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Good luck, my dear. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
It's rugged when they want to fly away from the nest. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Caller, call. Caller, you're live on the...
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear me? One second. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm turning off the other one so I don't have an echo. Yes, I... Hi, Dr. Allen. How are you today?
Pardon?
Hello? Oh, I just said, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. What can I do for you?
Sure. So I really would like to meet someone, and I've been caregiving for my mother who passed away, and I've been looking after her for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Very complete. But I'm now, and I'm an only child, and I just would really, you know, I don't want to be alone. So I'm just kind of starting to present myself more. There was this one guy who he's turned me down, and I've asked about second high body.
He's turning you down?
He had turned me down in December.
Okay, did I hear you correctly? He left you? He turned you down?
Well, it's something that I've only had 3 dates with him, and he thinks we're not compatible.
He thinks you can have what?
Actually, she said he thinks they're not compatible. Unfortunately, that caller dropped. And so I don't know, maybe Sam at the switchboard can get her back.
Okay.
We'll see what happens here. Yeah. Okay, there she
goes. Please leave a message for 3-2.
Oh, you're not back. Okay. Well, we're going to move on then. That's a shame. All righty.
What did you want to ask me?
Here we go. Next caller. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Allen. Thank you so much for your service. And
I appreciate that, really except appreciate that I want to know how I can serve you.
Okay, I am a really poor communicator, and I'm trying to recover from being a man and a mother. And I've been dating, a man has been dating me, even though I started the conversation. We're going on our 5th month now. And things have gotten
more
casual.
Are you monogamous?
Like, yes, monogamous, committed, long-term relationship.
Okay, and you're aiming towards marriage?
Yes.
And
that's clear.
What is the question?
The question is, we hang out on weekends, and or we don't really set up a time. It's always like such a vague time on our dates, and
Wait a minute. How do you go on a date if he never asks you?
Yeah, I guess that's the hard part. Is I don't get asked to go out. It's more like, hey, I'm gonna swing by tonight. Or I'm available this weekend. And then he might hang out all weekend, you know.
Are you wanting to go to dinner? What is it that you want?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I say things like, oh, are you getting hungry? You know, because I'm hungry. So I say,
do you want me to make popcorn
or should we go out to eat?
And does he answer your questions?
Yes, he says, I am hungry. What were you thinking? What do you want?
Would you please, as of today, stop leading the relationship? Would you do that for a week?
Yes. So this weekend,
Would you tell him that you need 24-hour notice? Do you have any girlfriends?
Yes, a lot.
Are you willing to build your world if he doesn't ask you for a date? Are you willing, if he doesn't do it, like by Friday at 6, for a Saturday date, that's really tight, that you will go with your girlfriend?
But he did say he's available on the weekend, so I can't ask him, when are you coming over? And then, I have some things in the morning that I tell him I'm not available in the morning. Because I planned dates with my girlfriend
something
in the morning.
Else. Yes.
Yeah. And then
what does he do when you plan for you?
If you got to do some things, that's fine. And if you would like to do them privately, that's fine too. Like, he doesn't have to be there.
Are you sure you have a relationship?
He tends to spend the night. Yeah, I mean, he spends the night like all weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then I say, I have morning plans Saturday. And then
therefore
he says, okay, that's fine.
What I hear is he says, I'm at your bequest, bequest. He is letting you in the leader.
Okay. Well, and that's not what I want to be. I don't want to be the planner. I mean, can a planner and non-planner date, you know, and communicate?
Yes. So, because, how much
so
notice
he asked me
you
out.
Need? He sounds like he's semi-living with you.
That's what it feels like. Yeah, because
I have dogs. Are you willing to set up the boundaries right here and now? What is it that you don't want to do? And write it down so you can tell him.
I guess what I don't want to do is wait all day for him to make a plan.
Wait.
Yeah.
You no longer want to plan your social life.
With him.
Yeah, with him.
Right. Yeah, because I tend to wait all weekend, all day until he says,
wait a minute.
Okay, I'm available.
You tend to mother him. My, we're having a subject tonight. Would you please tell him, I really don't want to be the mother in this relationship. So if you want to see me, please feel free to date me. And if you don't, I'm going to go out with my girlfriend. Means you may go dancing, you may go to parties, you may go to shows, you may go someplace.
Yeah.
Would you be willing not to be the mother, the man? Is mothering masculine or feminine?
Masculine.
Is mothering masculine or feminine?
Masculine?
Yes.
Yeah, unless it's done to children.
Was your mother a man?
Yes. I mean, I've been my whole life.
Okay, are you willing to notify him that you don't want to be his mother? You want to be his girlfriend, his fiance, and maybe even his wife? But you don't want to be the mother in the relationship.
Right. Do I have to, here's me mothering again. I feel like I need to spell it out. Like say, provide me a time and place for our date.
Yep. I want you to put down all of the signs of being a woman instead of a mother. What are they? What is it you don't want to do anymore?
Patience.
What?
I want to be more of a woman. I don't want to...
What does that look like?
Plan our date. I don't want to plan dinner. Like say, are you hungry? Let's go out. But then I get really hungry.
Okay. And I want you to tell him, if I do want to do something with you, I promise to ask you. Say your friend is having a party and you are invited. You would ask him to go with you.
Right.
So there are occasions, his birthday, you might want to take him out to dinner. Whatever you want to do, you can ask him if he wants to join you. But any other occasion is up to him. Are you willing to do that for this week?
Yes. So when we're hanging out this weekend, like I proposed watching the football game.
Do you want to watch the football game?
Yeah, I do.
Then would you please tell him, I want to watch the football game with you. That's you doing something you want to do.
And that's okay. That's not being a man.
That's fine. If it's your idea, I want you to tell him, I have a favor to ask of you. I want to do something with you. Promise him that you will lead him when you want to do something. But you don't want to lead him as if you're him.
Right. So when, like, last night he came, he said, oh, let's watch a show together. I'll come over after
That's
work.
Him asking. That's him asking.
Right.
What did
and
you
then I
not want?
At the time,
did you not want?
I didn't want to wait around all night for him. And then I finally just asked him, when should I be expecting you? Because I waited, 2 hours after he got off of work. So
no, when you,
how do you
when he
go
says
about,
I want to see you tonight, when do you want to come over? Get the details.
Okay, so when he asks me, say what time?
He's asking you what time?
No, he says, I'll come over some because
no,
I have the
that's
whole weekend
cute.
Available.
What he's doing is saying, entertain me. That's mothering.
What he's doing? That's what he's doing?
He's wanting you to mother him.
Oh. Okay, so how do I communicate?
You're going to tell him, I will ask you when I want to date you. But if I don't ask you, you have to decide if you want to date me.
Okay.
In other words, you both can set up dates, but there will be no open-ended dates.
Mm-hmm.
You want to...
Okay, so get a time and a place.
A time, a place, and how to get there and what to wear and what people do. But I want you to make sure that he knows if you want to see him, you'll ask him.
Okay. But otherwise, he can ask me out, right?
If... He's got to do what you're doing. I have tools. This is the way you do it. You say, I have a request I want to make of you. Your birthday's coming up, and I want to have a barbecue. What do you think about that? That's you asking him for a date.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be no dates when he says, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I feel like I need to direct when he comes
you don't
over.
Need
and
to. You.
I said, okay.
Your mother taught you how to be a mother to a man. Is your mother and dad still married?
No. They
who
divorced
left
when I was five.
Who left?
My mom.
Did she get tired of being a mother to your father?
I don't know. It's drugs. They both were doing drugs and alcohol. They were fighting all the time.
My mom never... drinks. he becomes way more feminine. He needs a mama. When a woman drinks, she becomes more masculine, and she needs a little boy for a husband.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Are you willing to set up your boundaries for dating?
Yes. It's this scary week, to communicate him, but I can ask her. I ask for an appointment, correct?
You ask for an appointment to outline your comfort zone about dating and write down all the things that you don't want and want when it comes to dating.
Okay. So one of the biggest things is I'm a time stickler. Like, I want a time, and he is like, after work, he might chill out for a while and then come around to a time. Like,
no. If he doesn't tell you when he's coming, the doors are locked, you go into the movies with the girlfriend.
Okay. So might that's the boundary, right?
That is the boundary. I'm not going to design our life. I will do it when I want to do it for me, but not for you.
Okay. And it's something as simple as what we're eating for dinner. Because he always gives me, like, the choice. Like, I'm indifferent. What would you like to eat?
Telling you, he's giving you the right to be his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother likes being a mother. You don't.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lots of women feel controlled by men that tell them what to do. You want to be controlled. And you've got to tell them that.
Okay.
You see?
I can do that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not even using those words in that manner, but I think that's the way
I understand
it.
That.
Yeah.
Have you read Getting to I Do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Do you notice that the directions are in there? What?
Yeah, I keep going back to the 4 to 6 months period, you know.
I know that, but what I'm saying is, okay, I'm going to give you the 5 tools. Number one tool, if you want to be cherished, is don't ever ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. Always ask him, what do you want to do this weekend? Where do you want to go? What can I do to help you and I do it? You see the difference?
Mm-hmm. What if he says after that, what do you want to do?
No, I want to do what you want to do. I don't want to mother you.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Have you got that?
I don't want to mother
you. Right.
Got it.
When you have a request, a date to ask, you say, I have a request. Are you willing to hear it? Yeah, what is it? What do you want? I want us to go to the zoo or whatever. Do you see?
Great. Yeah.
The second tool is you making an appointment and asking him if he's willing to do it and what can you do to help do it with him. Make a reservation, whatever. But that's you asking for a direction.
Mm-hmm.
The third tool, when he irritates you by saying, I want to come over and hang out. Here's what you say to him. You have every right to want to come over and hang out, but I'm not comfortable with that tonight. So what other plan do you have? Are you hearing that?
Yeah. Wow.
The fourth tool. Listen to the fourth tool. 90% of all communication is body language. That's him sitting in a chair saying, what do you want to do tonight? Body language. And you say to him, I sense by the fact you don't have any plans that you want me to mother us. Am I right?
Wow. Yeah.
Have you got that?
Yeah, that's breakthrough right there. You're so great at communicating.
The fifth tool, no, you're not communicating. And that's what I do. That's all I teach is communicating.
Yeah, you're giving me. Yeah, exactly.
The tools.
I value this.
The fifth tool is you're not comfortable asking for something or telling him something. Do you know the timeout sign in a ball game?
Yeah.
The hand signal?
Yep. Yes.
He says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable mothering you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you got that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Are you willing to practice this?
Yes, I think that a lot of times my body language gets in tune to my own feelings, like how I'm feeling, because I'm starting to recognize when I'm a mother and I can take a time out. You know, I can tell
That's him. What you can. Just signal them with your hands if you don't want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to speak,
and your
that's
words
cool
that
too.
You use, you're so good. I hope that I can write these down and practice them over and over so that it comes out of my mouth.
Excellent.
I do not want to mother you, you know. Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Allen.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Right, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. We've got some more calls in the queue. Sam's going to get us another caller. And I want to remind everybody that the One Institute is a 501c3 non-profit. Education is completely write-offable on your taxes. Contact info at drpatallen.com to find
Please
out.
Leave your message for
donating to the Want Institute. That keeps us live on the air and with you guys each and every week. Fantastic. Okay. Callers, your voicemail. We don't want to talk to your voicemail. Caller here live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello, caller. Are you there? Caller. Caller in the 323. Okay, we dropped that call. I think that is the gal we were talking to earlier, too. So, hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? On the air.
Hi, yes, I do. Thank you so much. Yes, so I have been sort of having a situation over the last decade with a coworker who was an attorney. Corresponding to the function I worked with, we kind of basically had a dating relationship on and off while we worked together, but never crossed any lines physically because of the reporting structure. Now he's reached out after 2 years of me leaving the company. Yes, he just sort of reached out saying, hi, after all this time, I've sort of, you know, held a candle for him. And then you know, all the bad feelings came back from before where we had all these boundaries and limits. And I just said, you know, I had been listening to you for just a couple weeks. And so I said, listen, you have every right to want to be calling me for, you know, it went on for 3 months and, you know, talking about like we living in the ambiguity. And I don't want this to go unresolved, but I also don't want to get hurt again. And he lives in another state. So he basically said, look, I, you know, hear what you're saying. But I'm basically going to disengage until I know where I'm going to live and kind of where I'm going to settle down. So that was about a month ago. I know I have 4 weeks to go. I did text him maybe a week later and sort of try to apologize for, you know, I didn't mean to shut him down and say, I don't want you to talk to me anymore.
But you did punish him.
So I'm not sure where to go from here.
You did punish him.
I did.
You were not happy that he was coming after you.
Well, so I forgot to mention this. I had, when he reached out to me after 2 years of not hearing from him, after I left the company we worked for, I did not tell him that I was getting out of a long-term relationship with someone I had no chemistry with, and was, you know, kind of ready to move on. So my purpose in calling him and having that conversation was to be forthcoming with the fact that I was newly single and hadn't mentioned it before, but he also didn't ask.
That's what I have people do as a high bye letter, but it sounds like you were punitive, that you were telling him how he didn't do it right, and he sounds like he's left.
It does sound like he has left. But I can't help but think that, you know, I know he wants to be married. We have some mutual connections, you know, and we.
I understand that, but you said he wasn't a good man. You told him off.
What do I do now?
What you said is true. Are you willing to write him a true hi-bye letter?
Yes.
Then do you have paper and pencil?
I do.
Paragraph 1. Everything you have liked about him since you met him.
So, Dr. Pat, I actually have the hi-bye letter written and ready to go.
Then would you please read it to me now?
Yes, I will. I will have to pull it up. Give me just one brief second.
Well, pull it up, because that's okay. The hi-bye letter builds a bridge. But what you did was you said, go away, it's been a bad day. Do you have your letter?
I'm pulling it up right
now. Okay.
Okay.
Have you got it now?
Hang on, I have to go into my email. I'm sorry, I was not expecting to do this. I should have been better prepared. Okay, here I go.
How can you be prepared for what you don't know what I'm going to say?
No, you're absolutely right.
I'm just wanting to help you build a bridge, because you're not done with him, but telling him off was not a bridge. It was a grave.
You're right. I'm having a really hard time. My computer is failing me. I'm having a really hard time pulling this up. I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm here to do what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I'm teaching you how to communicate.
Okay, I have it.
You've got it. Good girl. All right, so what's the first line?
It says, you are sweet, smart, honest, strong, and trustworthy.
No. Wait.
Uh-huh.
You have to say, I'm writing this letter to share my thoughts and feelings positively about us.
Okay.
We're not going to send him a graver.
I'm writing this letter to share my feelings positively about us. Okay, and then I say, you are sweet.
What you like. Go ahead and say it.
Okay. You are sweet and smart, honest, strong, and trustworthy. You're a real man, a loyal friend, a great son, and super talented. You're well-spoken, generous, conscientious, and fair. You take care of yourself and anyone you can. I love that you are unapologetically a goofball, but you know when to slow up and when
wait,
you do, you
slow
are...
down your reading. Uh-huh. You're racing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm nervous. All right, here goes. I love that you are unapologetically a goofball, but you know when to step up, and when you do, you are unshakable and commanding. I admire that you are so focused, passionate, careful, and trusted in your profession. I'm glad to have seen that side of you. Having spent the majority of my personal and professional life around men, and lots of them at that, I can bro down and compete are a rarity that brings out the schoolgirl in me. I've hated that I can't control it, and I've definitely hated how much I like it. Thinking about you again has me remembering all of this, feeling it come back. Even in suffering, the inevitable hangover that stemmed from never really being able to be myself around you, there wasn't a minute I didn't enjoy the time we did spend together. I loved that you always had plans for us, led the way with me, and redirected us when you realized I was being a silly schoolgirl with a crush, getting lost on walks or loosening a neck button on your shirt after maybe one.
Slow down.
Okay. I'm not sure you ever really knew.
I'm not pushing. I'm on the air till 6 o'clock.
Okay. I'm a fast reader. I'm sorry. All right. So this is the next paragraph. I'm not sure you ever really knew how different I was with you, but anyone who saw the radical change in me when you were around surprised even myself by grabbing the hood of her coat and yanking her back as she walked after you, saying she was just going to tell you to ask me out already. After you came to Seattle, my boss confided that she couldn't believe we were, quote unquote, getting away with this, but also that she was glad to know there was a real girl under my cold and focused exterior. My operations team teased me, saying they now understood why I was inexplicably delighted that an attorney would be coming to coach us amidst an investigation. Coworkers hosted roasts of me to anyone who would listen during staff meetings for the 5 years we worked together. Anyone who saw us together knew that I went instantly from confident and steadfast into a giggling mess who suddenly knew nothing about anything when you were in the remote vicinity. Next paragraph. My craziness was temporarily assuaged when you finally admitted to having motives beyond my professional development in mind, when you would call me and talk for hours, show up to surprise me when I was stranded on a layover, and plan your free nights to be spent with me anytime we were in the same city. However, the insecurity and confusion of how that played out, how I know it had to be, haunts me to this day. Maybe you just said things so you could keep stringing me along, get a little ego stroking. I so clearly remembered saying to you that night, saying goodnight to you at your hotel in Seattle, and you telling me how different things would be if we didn't work together, if I didn't live here, if I would just be the one to, quote, make a move. I always felt the weight of the ifs on my shoulders. Looking back, I'm glad I shut you out to an extent. It wasn't meant to be then, and I don't think I would have ever gotten comfortable if we started something with me being the decisive lead. It was unsettling to be faced with the prospect of getting back on the emotional roller coaster again since you reached out after all these years, and with such auspicious timing, referring to my breakup. I allowed the discomfort of dealing with that shock to bring out the worst in me. I have generally allowed you the power to leave me feeling insecure, naive, and inadequate. I shut my mouth and subserviently let the games continue, even when you were the only one who got to make and amend the rules. While I am inclined to acquiesce to you, subservience and codependence are not of my character, and I don't want to toe that line again. What pains me now is that I communicated poorly with you as a result of the old habit to avoid that pain. I'm disappointed in myself for disrespecting you by telling you everything I didn't want from you, unintentionally implying that this included further contact when I really should have conveyed where my reticence was coming from. I should have been clear that I wanted to tell you everything you wanted to know, but couldn't without first acknowledging the past and understanding terms of the contract for the present. I feel terrible that I may have added to the list of people currently adding to your stress when the truth is I really was just happy you were bringing me in again, even if only a little bit at a time, though I didn't let myself show it. I'm afraid to find that what I interpreted as chemistry was actually the thrill of the chase, the forbidden fruit, one-sided, and just a game. I'm unsure, but either way, I don't want to feel the need to hold back or hide who I am or how I feel towards you. The continued tone of tentativeness and evasiveness is clearly understandable, but intolerable for me beyond this point. Final paragraph. I write this to you for myself. I wanted to take this time to painstakingly dust off all the good and bad memories of us circa 2014 through 2019 in order to understand what I feel and want for myself circa now. I take full accountability for my feelings and actions in the past, present, and future. You've helped me to know myself better so I can do better in my next relationship. That relationship will be with someone who... Yes, ma'am.
That's saying goodbye to him. That's not what this letter's been saying. This letter has been about hidden secrets.
Yeah.
What you've said is, this is goodbye. Remember, it says hi, bye. I'm trying to help you write a hi letter, and you just put a bye letter statement in the letter.
Okay. I'll take out the...
Are you terminating him or inviting him?
I'm inviting him.
Good. Now scratch that sentence out.
Okay, I'm scratching out. So that, with someone who is willing to negotiate and communicate with
I
me.
I want
so
that gone.
Oriented. Okay, that's gone too. And then the last sentence is, I'm grateful to you for your part in helping me learn these painful lessons. So I guess I'll just end it with some accountability for myself. And should I?
No. What you do is you say, I'm sending you this letter of truth about my deep feelings for you and hope that you respond to it.
Okay.
Or some statement that says you're building a bridge.
Okay.
Of communication. So what
should
you
I
do?
Wait?
I don't. No, you don't have to wait anything. You send it as soon as we could get off the phone. This is undoing the damage of that lecture you gave him.
Yeah.
So read that last paragraph again until it's a good invite.
Okay. I write this to you for myself. I want to take this time to painstakingly dust off all the good and the bad memories of us circa 2014 to 2019 in order to understand what I feel and want for myself circa now. I take full accountability for my feelings and actions in the past, present, and future. I'm sending you this letter of truth in hopes, what did you say? In hopes, building a...
I'm in hopes that you want to have an honest relationship.
Okay. It just feels intense. It feels very direct when I've always been very direct with him to the point that it might scare him.
Darling, he was courageous enough to come after you. And you were creative enough to send them away, but you don't want to send them away, so we're writing this.
Okay. So he said he was going to disengage just until he knew where he was going to be living and settling down. So you don't think I should give him the rest of the 8 weeks or give him some time to do that?
Wait a minute, dear. You're giving him... All he's got is a rejection notice from you. This letter is an amends to him for that statement. Everything in the letter was an admission of your rejection of him. This letter is the one that says, I made a bad mistake you did a beautiful job of describing your mistake, but you're not doing as good a job in saying, if you are willing to be as open as I am, respond to this, or something like. So I, what you're writing in this last paragraph.
I wrote exactly what you said. I'm sending
well,
you this letter.
Well, that doesn't mean it's right. Let's hear it.
So I write this to you for myself. I wanted to take this time to painstakingly dust off all the good and bad memories of us, to understand what I feel and want for myself now. I take full accountability for my feelings and actions in the past, present, and future. I'm sending you this letter of truth in hopes that you want to have an open and honest relationship.
With me, you.
With me.
Do you see how afraid you are to ask for what you want?
I am, because I've been very competitive and masculine with him, because he put, I and very much that. And he is the only man I've ever met that has brought out this schoolgirl in me. And when it came out, he told me to put it away because we work together. I even told him all I need is for you to tell me to quit my job and move, and he wouldn't do that then. And so now,
dear, dear, read the section again, please. We've got to finish that.
I take full accountability for my feelings and actions in the past, present, and future. I'm sending you this letter of truth in hopes that you want to have an open and honest relationship with me.
I'm okay if you end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the last paragraph. So,
wait a minute. If you do not want me for the painful lesson I've received, and hopefully don't repeat it with a new man.
Okay.
How do you feel about this letter and this ending?
Terrified.
What are you terrified of?
Rejection. I mean, this is the only person I've never called into a radio show. I've never written this much in my life. I've never spent this much brain power on a man before. And I haven't seen him in 3 years. Physically, so
what difference does that make? Chemistry bridge to this human being.
I do.
We
I
just
feel like
built
I
the bridge.
So much of an effort. Okay.
What?
Okay. I feel like I've made a lot of effort. Like, our mutual friends and coworkers have kind of told me, because I felt bad about reacting that way to him, and you know, saying I don't want to do the phone calls back and forth for years again without direction. And they kind of said, listen, he did kind of yank you along, and he didn't know what he wanted, and he's a workaholic. But
dear,
you're right, at the end
dear,
of the day,
dear,
my instinct. Mm-hmm.
You terminated him, and we're undoing the termination.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you want him enough to send this now?
Yes.
Then send it. And read the response back to me before you tear him a new one.
Yes, ma'am.
You did a beautiful letter up to the end. Then you reverted mm-hmm. back into rejecting him.
Mm. Okay.
Do not reject what you want.
Okay, done. I will respect your guidance.
Good. I'm telling you, what you've done is simply admitted your faults and asked him to reconsider a new start. But you also said, if you don't want me, thank you for the lesson I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not just you get mad at him.
I will.
Okay. I will.
Thank you, Dr. Allen, very much. Thank you for your work.
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, caller.
Good night. Thanks, Kelly. Bye-bye.
Good luck. Let us know.
Will do. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, let's see what we've got. Oh, my goodness. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Thank you so much. I'm grateful to be on air, or grateful to talk to Dr. Allen. And I was the one who had called earlier, and something happened to the connection. So I started with my mother recently passed away. I've been caregiving her for 5 years. We had a beautiful ending, and I'm excited about a new season. I don't want to be alone. I'd like to meet someone, so I'm trying to, like, you know, meeting someone that I've had 3 dates with, and we last connected over text in December, and he doesn't think we're compatible. I've sent one hi bye, and I don't know if I can send another or if there's a way to revisit or to open up if there's any interest there.
So what do you really want?
Well, I'd like to be his girlfriend if he were open to that.
Okay. So have you written your hi bye?
I sent a hi bye a year ago.
And what was the answer?
He said, I don't remember why we stopped seeing each other.
What did he say about seeing each other?
He couldn't remember why we weren't seeing each other.
Oh, he was, is that what you're saying?
Right, so we had 2 dates a year ago in November. And then I waited 8 weeks and wrote a hi bye. And his response was, thank you for that lovely text message. I can't remember why we stopped seeing each other.
Well, and then, that was a year ago?
That was last January. Yes, a year ago.
That was last January. And you haven't heard from him since?
Well, no. Then I saw him over Labor Day. That was the 3rd date.
Okay. All right.
And after that date,
was he interested in you as a date at that time?
He was. I think he's attracted to me, and I think he wants sex quickly. So I spent the night, but we didn't have sex.
Good. You had an affectionate night together.
Yes, we did. So then I thought
when did that occur?
Labor Day. That was Labor Day.
Okay.
And I thought we would keep seeing each other, but he texted a couple days later and he said, he said, even though we had a magical night together, it also gave us a better understanding of each other's desired lifestyles and philosophies. From my perspective, there's too much of a difference on both counts. You're beautiful inside and out, but I'm not your guy. I wish you the best.
What made him think he wasn't your guy, or were you?
I'm not sure. I asked, so I to hear that, as I really enjoy our time together. If you'd be comfortable sharing what the disconnect was, I'd appreciate that. And he replied,
okay.
Not comfortable. He said
not
he wasn't comfortable sharing.
Pardon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he said, not comfortable.
He's not comfortable responding to your request.
Right. So that was in September.
You asked for an explanation.
Yes.
Okay.
So then that was September. So then in December, I sent him a photo and I said, hi, how are you? And said, I'm good. I'm working on a few projects, trying to enjoy life the best I can. Any changes in your life? So there were a couple of like just 30 texts. And he said, come over and make out with me by the fire. And I just said, easy, tiger. Like I don't know. Like I probably should have replied differently. But
did you go over there at his invitation?
No, I said easy, tiger. I didn't go over.
did you want to go over?
Well, I'd like to see him again, but I have to get, like, I don't know how to navigate having, because I said I wanted, you know, he'd asked for sex, and I said I wanted an exclusive relationship. But when I started with that, I said, I'm someone who'd like to get married. And I don't, I think he, you know, he's divorced after 30 years. And like that just, he doesn't, he's not looking for that. But I think I could be okay being in a committed monogamous relationship.
That's right. Why can't you mate, not marry?
Right. So I've become more open to that since we last.
Are you willing to send him a notice of that on Valentine's Day?
I'll give him notice on Valentine's? yeah, I am. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is December, like December 7th
well,
that I texted him.
I know, but let's get the Valentine. Would you be willing to send a visiting card? I'm still here, and I've decided I don't need to be legally married. I would enjoy a monogamous, continuous relationship. Without marriage, as long as I'm your girlfriend. Are you writing it?
I sure am.
Because we've got a wonderful Valentine's Day coming up. We might as well go for it.
Right. So you don't, you think I should wait though until Valentine's?
Wait for, yes, I just said you're going to send it. Unless you send it, you can get an early Valentine's card.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait till the 14th or whatever date it is.
Yeah, it's
what,
big. It's
Super Bowl
that weekend. All the guys
will be. What?
I was going to say, it's Super Bowl weekend. That's what the guys are going to be thinking about over Valentine's.
I know it. No, this is, that's, that, no, the, this is football weekend.
Right.
So when are you willing to send the note that we're going to write?
Well, I'm willing to send it. Let me look at the calendar. I was thinking this Sunday, it's like January 30th or February 6th.
Okay. And what will it say?
Well, the note,
the Valentine cards are out there right now.
Yeah, I'd have to do it by text. I don't have his address.
Oh, you don't? You're going to do it by what?
Text.
Okay. Can you create with those little pictures?
Yeah, I can do something cute. I can do a cute Valentine, yeah.
Okay, but what will the note say?
I don't know how to open it. Also, do I, like, he had asked if there were any changes in my life. Do I share that my mother passed away, or that's just too heavy?
No, that's just data.
Okay.
I want you to share what the card is for, please.
Okay. I don't know how to open it. I wrote down that, you know, I would enjoy a monogamous, continuous relationship without marriage as long as I'm your girlfriend. I don't know how to introduce that.
Okay, introducing it. I'm using this Valentine to tell you one more time I'm available. I have feelings for you. And I don't need to be legally married as long as we're monogamous, continuous, and I'm your girlfriend.
Okay.
How do you feel about this message?
Are you asking me, or is that something to ask him?
What?
Is that a question for me or for him?
Yes, no, that's a question for you.
Like, I'm comfortable with that, like, in terms of images. I think my more religious views, I don't know if he hasn't shared why he's uncomfortable, so I don't want to put too much out there if I don't know.
What did he say about marriage?
He just said that's like a big deal, like he was married for 30. He wants to know that he's with someone who really likes him for who he is. I remember him saying that. And he's married for 30 years. His wife became a Ferrari race car driver and kind of left the marriage. And he's older and, you know, wants someone who really, you know, cares about the way likes him.
He never made a standard statement about not wanting to marry anybody.
He didn't. He kind of got, because, it was like the second date and he brought up I would only do that in marriage. And then, he was kind of, I think, considering, or, he was like saying like, well, that's, there's, legal, there's a lot to do, and he, he was really
okay over,
but he didn't say
We know that you are changing your statement, and that's what this, read the note again that we created from the beginning.
Yes. I'm sending this Valentine text to tell you one more time I'm available, I have feelings for you, and I don't need to be legally married as long as we're monogamous, continuous, and I'm your girlfriend.
Now, does that undo the damage of you saying, I need to be married? I need to, do you understand what I mean? That's what this card, it's what this text is for. The secret of a relationship is if he has all the information, his response will be his response. But if you haven't given him his information, you created the response.
So I do, so I'm okay with being a girlfriend if it's monogamous. And
we're not saying girlfriend. We're saying we don't need to be married. We need to be a girlfriend.
So
you
I think
monogamous,
that,
continuous girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving him an option. If he says no, did we say thank you for this lesson? If did we say anything about thanking him for the lesson that it taught you to be truthful and honest with you?
I haven't said that, no.
Pardon?
I haven't said that, no.
Okay. Do you want to say it? Is the note we created enough? Read it one more time. Let's see if it's enough.
Okay. I'm sending this Valentine text to you to tell you one more time I'm available, I have feelings for you, and I don't need to be legally married as long as we're monogamous, continuous, and I'm your girlfriend.
You know, that sounds very complete to me. What does it feel like to you?
It sounds complete. I don't know if it's like, if there's a way to warm it up.
No, I sense he's still attracted to you, or he wouldn't have contacted you at all.
Okay.
Okay. What we're doing is we're checking to make sure he's rejecting you, and that you're not making a mistake not writing this note.
Okay.
The note still sounds fine to me. Does it sound okay to you?
I like it a ton. I just don't know if I need to kind of, do something to lead into it and how to close it. But I agree with the message.
Well, wait a minute.
Like
it closes beautifully.
Okay. Well, I guess I can ask. I'd love to hear back from him, or I'd love to hear his thoughts.
So what I hear is it's a truthful statement summarizing the relationship. Well, now he's in charge of yes or no.
Okay. So I don't need to say anything about getting back to me, and I don't need to,
No, you don't need to do that. read it again for that note. Let's see if it says anything. Read it one more time.
Okay, and do I say his name maybe, like, hi, boo, or hi, whatever. I'm sending this Valentine text to tell you one more time I'm available, I have feelings for you, and I don't need to be legally married as long as we're monogamous, continuous, and I'm your girlfriend.
That sounds concise, honest, and literally asks for a response.
Right.
So I say, put it out there. Want to send it now or wait till Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm thinking of either, Sunday tends to be a good time, like Sunday late afternoon evening, like when he's kind of available. So I thought I would either send it this Sunday, which is January 30th, or next Sunday, which is February 6th.
All right. Which date do you want to send it?
I'm kind of leaning toward this Sunday.
All right, then would you please send it this Sunday?
Okay. Maybe I'm sending this early Valentine text.
That's right. It's an early Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's
and
a summary.
Like, it doesn't seem it doesn't sound too like out of the blue, like I don't need to.
No, dear. Say happy not. He has responded to yours. When you came off with, I need to be married, that shut him down.
Uh-huh.
We're opening it up.
Right. Yeah, that shut him down. That did.
Okay, so let's send him the opener.
Just that one sentence. Okay. I'll be bold. It's so fun, Dr. Allen, how... Like, you know, we get to practice being, you know, patient, passive, and, you know, vulnerable. But, like, it's also very bold about our feelings.
This, what is this?
Well, you know, you train us, you help us if one wants to be feminine, to be, you know, passive, patient, vulnerable. But this is...
Yes, but passive, patient, and vulnerable... was what you did when you said, I can't be with you unless you blah, blah, blah. Today, we wiped that out.
I did, yeah.
We set a standard he couldn't go for.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought it up. You said, mm-hmm. I don't need to be married. Did you mean it?
Right. At the time, I did. Yeah, I felt very convicted about that.
Then we're writing him an amends of a mistaken statement because it shut him down. Well, if that's the case, didn't he do that?
Yeah, he did shut down. I just made a little edit for it on this. Tell me what you think of this. I'm sending this early Valentine text to tell you I still have feelings for you. I'm available.
Beautiful.
I don't need to be legally
beautiful.
Married. I don't need to be legally married. Because I think it's still one more time. I still have feelings for you. I'm available. I don't need to be legally married.
That's beautiful. That opening was better.
Yeah.
Do it.
And just that one sentence with like some cute emoji.
Honey, I'm going to read something to you. I collect statements from very spiritual people, Dalai Lamas and whatever. Here's a wonderful statement that fits what we just did.
Okay.
Let's see. This is by Mark Twain. Do you know Mark Twain?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The difference between the almost right word and the right word is really a large matter. It's different than the lightning. That's what we just did.
Mm-hmm.
Got that?
Mm-hmm.
We're giving him the lightning, not just the bug.
Okay.
Does that help you feel good?
Thank you, caller.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. All right. I think we have time for one more, Dr. Allen. Let's see.
Let's do it.
All right. Caller, you are live with Dr. Allen on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Hi there. This sounds like Brian.
It is. It was hard work getting in today, but you had a lot of high bio letters going on, so that's good.
You know what? This was a working day. Have you ever heard women working as much as we work today?
Yes, you did a lot, but yes, you got some clear messages. And I know when I got I did get another message from my ex over the weekend.
Oh, your ex? What did she say?
Oh, she didn't say anything, but she sent me a song that was definitely a clear appeal to get me back. But hey, I sent the bye letter, so there's nothing else to talk about after that.
That's exactly right.
Now, getting into a discussion about... Yeah, go ahead.
She put too much space emotionally between you.
Well, in some ways, I think that is true because she really didn't state her feelings strongly until after she got the bye letter. And I realized an ex from the past did something similar to that, too. So, you know, it's good. I guess the bottom line is it's good that you're doing work to help people, women especially, express their feelings that it's hard to put out there because, you know, hey, it's a lot of vulnerability.
It's undoing mistakes.
Yeah. We've certainly all done them, but, you know, my goodbye letters have not been mistakes, even though I think, well, I could have done something here and there.
No,
but
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the distance she kept between you.
I did not
hear enough respect for you as a leader in the relationship.
No, and there were definitely other compatibility issues. So after she, after the respect went more out the window, it kind of broke the spell and got past things. And I definitely have some other opportunities going on, but I'm running into I don't really know for sure, but I'm concerned is unavailability with a couple that I like, but I'm hoping, I have a date on Saturday, but we'll be figuring out exactly what we're going to do tonight. It'll be somewhere in her area, that's for sure.
All right. So do you understand that when women do not respect men, the men pick it up intuitively and back off, and then the women feel the loneliness and come back, but by that time, the man is really limited in his ability to trust that she is able to be a woman with a man.
There's that. And then it also gets to the point of, at a certain point, is there anything that someone can say to me that would turn the tide? And no, it's like, you know, after knowing enough, that's great information to have. And I know I'm willing to move on, but hey, I hope these women, let you know what's going down there.
This phone call is you're bringing up the issue of men have to be respected for who they are in order to give cherishing. It's almost life-threatening. If a man falls in love with a woman, that doesn't know what she does not want, and she pushes him away, and he leaves. He's got to do it before he's deeply in love with her, or it can break his heart. There's even a heart attack called the broken heart syndrome, the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, cardiac heart attack. And it's a healthy heart that has a massive attack because it's been broken with betrayal. Isn't that something?
Yeah, or in my case, I don't think it was quite that heavy, but it was to the point
where
that,
the wait, the chemistry point is, was when the man spots the disrespect, it shuts him down.
Yeah, and the woman that I'm planning to get together Saturday, she's the one that I mentioned that I wanted to contact her first and said the courting thing. And initially, she didn't quite bristle at it, but it took her back for a moment. But since then, she's been very respectful and definitely talks about feeling comfortable with the way that we're communicating. So even though there could be some yellow flags or red flags there, I at least want to meet her and see what's there based on that stuff. But a couple of others may not be available, which I'm a little disappointed about.
I want you to know that I spoke to you during that period of time with those women about the disrespect and what it would result in. And you spoke up and asked for a realignment of communication that flagged the woman that you were a better man than she was.
Yeah, well, that probably came up mostly in the bi letter and then with this
that's
new woman.
Right. Sure. That's right. That's Please. Exactly what I'm saying. But bi letter.
Yeah. And in some ways it builds up my ego, knowing that, but I realize that she's in pain, and I certainly don't like that oxytocin bonding and the idea of, oh God, is it going to be 2 years that she's going to be going through that? But, my other ex sent me messages for a while, but I didn't reply, and I did move on, and I'm looking for more of what I want.
But I want you to understand it was predictable.
It was
women do not respect men. What?
It was predictable because of the disrespect.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Told you to write the letter and set the boundaries for respect, did you realize that a man who falls in love with a betraying woman risks dying?
I could see that I wouldn't be happy with the relationship the way it going in that direction further. So I suppose that could be seen like that.
That's the way it's seen by me right now. And I commend you, and I really want you to notice the results, that it breaks a woman back into passive, patient, and vulnerable because she realizes men, see, women have a mistake when they think that men are powerful. Men are not powerful when they're in love. They're extraordinarily vulnerable and available to wounding by anybody that loves them. That's a mother, a daughter, a wife, because once he thinks he's safe and he finds out he is not safe, that's when his heart breaks.
Yeah, when she said it to me initially on the phone, the idea of wanting to go back to something casual or not dating it at all, my first response was to say, all right, fine, I'm gone, goodbye. But I said, no, let me think about it. I don't want to make a rash decision I may regret later, and then put together the letter and ended up
sending it. Where I come in. When I taught you, and what I'm teaching right now is so unknown by today's woman. Today's woman grew balls after the Second World War when they took over business, and they're doing it now, and that's okay. But God help them if they can undo the danger of disrespecting men that they love, whether it's a father or a brother or a son or a boyfriend. When you disrespect a man, you break his anima, that's his soul, his female. My book, A Man's World and a Woman's Universe, outside body of a man is powerful, bigger, stronger, but the soul of a man, the anima, is absolutely defenseless at the hands of the animus. And the book on this is Anima, Animus by Emma Young, Carl Jung's wife.
And yes, I got that book.
We're out of time.
I've got that book. I've been looking at it. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. We love you.
Goodbye.
We'll be back next week.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.